The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM, Cellini and Domino with you, joined by a guy who's done just about everything in the world of basketball. We talk about the Dream Team. We talk about Michael Jordan. We talk about winning championships. We talk about winning and being in the Hall of Fame and more. Lenny Wilkins on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. It's the least we can do is have a conversation with you. Take us back to some of the memories you had, some good and some not so good, as you've been, I would assume, with the rest of us watching The Last Dance.
Well, you know, The Last Dance was great. Michael Jordan was a great, great player, and certainly I had the privilege to coach against him, to coach him, to work with him, you know, at his fantasy camps. And so, you know, we have a great relationship.
Lenny, how did you actually get on the staff? Chuck Daly, we know, was the guy. We talked to PJ earlier in the week about two college guys, two NBA guys. How did you end up on the 92 staff?
Well, they had called me, and Chuck did, and they wanted me to be a part of that team. And I had known Chuck a little bit. You know, we had gotten to know each other. And he said that he would really, really love to have me. I was the first coach he picked. So we talked about it, and I said that would be fine with me. I was free at the time, and it'd be, you know, an honor. So we got together, talked several times, and, you know, decided on a staff. And but the Olympic Committee selected the players.
And we talked to P.J. Carlissimo, one of the other assistants on the staff, a couple of days ago. He talked about the role of some of the referees that they called in, and then they got chased off, and he had to actually put the whistle on himself. Those practices were, it seems, a lot more entertaining and competitive than some of the games.
Well, they really were. The players wanted to challenge one another. You know, it was a great time for them. They got to play with each other, know each other. And then our practices were probably better than some of the games. So, you know, when you got guys that competitive and they're challenging each other to be good, it was funny. It was we had some good laughs, and Chuck, who was always a little bit nervous all the time, we, after the Tournament of Americas, we gave them a week off, and we met in New York to fly to Nice. And when we got there, we had a practice. It wasn't going good, and Chuck was, we shouldn't have given them off. We shouldn't have. We're going to lose, you know. And so I talked to Magic. I said, Magic, we need to get the intensity up. And he said he'd take care of it. And he started to get on Michael. And you know, Michael is such a competitor that Michael, because his team wasn't playing really well, and all of a sudden they started going at it, both teams. And then Chuck wanted to stop it. Now he was afraid someone would get hurt. So you know, that was a heck of a practice, and we were ready from then on.
Lenny, we had also made mention of, because of really what happened in 88 and then a little bit in 90, they decided to go with the pro guys. Can I ask, do you remember what your initial thoughts were? PJ wasn't happy, as a college guy especially. He said, this is not what's supposed to happen. Do you remember your initial thoughts about the idea of turning to pros?
Well, first of all, it didn't bother me at all because a lot of the guys that were European players, they were subsidized anyway. So they were light pros, you know. And so, you know, if you talk about basketball and you want your best, this was an opportunity. And so I didn't think it made that much difference. I thought that they had pros going against our college players. And if you want to go against the really best, here was an opportunity.
Hey, Lenny, I don't know about this. We had a conversation, you and I, a number of years ago. Was that group aware of your NBA career? Now, they knew you as a coach. They knew you was a guy who had won a title. I'm sure all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But did they have any idea you think that you were a 9-time NBA All-Star?
Some of them did. Some of them did. Not all of them, but some of them did. You know, because some of them were, you know, knew the game and knew the history of the game, you know. So they, to me, when I would talk the game to them, they were all very respectful and would listen.
Lenny Wilkins is with us, the Hall of Famer, on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, obviously talking about a number of things, including some of the episodes of The Last Dance. I know Ron Harper's reaction wasn't exactly clean when he found out he wasn't going to be guarding Michael Jordan when he hits the shot. We had Charles Barkley on. He said, Ron Harper can fancy himself a great defender, but what Michael Jordan did on that play, going to his left and hitting that shot, going away against his momentum, there was really nothing you can do on that play but tip your cap.
That's absolutely right. He had the double pump to get it off, and Elo was right in his face. So Michael made a great shot. But Ron, you know, Ron's a good guy, and I coached him, and I was disappointed when the Cavs traded him, and that's when I left after that because I was disappointed because I thought we were the one team that could beat Chicago. But in that game, what Ron doesn't mention is that Elo was the better defensive player at the time, and also, you know, we were down by one. And I forget how many seconds left in the game. And we set up a play, and the play worked so well that we got open too quick. And Elo was the one that scored the basket that put us up by one. You know, Ron's making more of it, I think, than it really was.
But it's funny.
And I don't even remember him coming to me.
Well, you're the third person that now has said in that huddle they didn't remember that
yeah,
either.
History's kind of rewriting itself. But it's funny you bring up Ron's right. ability. People forget before he hurt his knee how athletic he was. We've talked to Brad Daugherty about it. We've talked to Mark Price about it. They said the same thing that you said. If Harper sticks around and is the guy that he was in Cleveland, they think that you beat the Bulls.
Oh, no question about it. I felt that way. And the next year, you know, the year that the Cavs were hell-bent on trading him. Wayne and Emery and I wouldn't talk for a long time. At least I wouldn't talk to him because I was disappointed. You know, I felt that, no, he's a young player. We should keep him. We should develop this team. And they went ahead and traded him. And I thought, even though we won 53 games the next year, that it took away our opportunity to be a championship team. And so I resigned.
Did you ever tell Michael that you believe you would have beaten him?
I don't remember if we ever had conversation about it, but, you know, I used to do Michael's fantasy camp, so you know, we had a lot of time to talk, but I don't know if it came up or not.
What about the idea that Michael, prolific scorer for the first handful of years in the league, did you have any idea, look, you can see, wow, that guy's really good at this. Did you have any sense he was going to become the guy Michael Jordan?
Yes, I did, because, he was very focused. When he was in the game, he wanted to win. I don't care what he had to do. He wanted to win. And his mental toughness was outstanding. And, you know, it's just that you look at progression of players and you say if they keep developing, they're going to be great, like Oscar Robertson was, like Jerry West was, you know. Larry Bird. I mean, you go on through the progression of players, and if they have the green light to develop, they're going to be good. So, yeah, I thought he was going to be a heck of a player.
Hall of Famer Lenny Wilkins with us, obviously becomes the all-time winningest coach in the history of the NBA with the Hawks, obviously here in the center of another deal. What was your initial reaction when the talks began, at least, about dealing Dominique Wilkins?
Again, another mistake. You know, when you have a great player like that, I mean, if you think he's only got a year left or so, I mean, why not enhance the franchise and keep him there, let him retire there? It would be a great legacy. And again, you know, and you can check this out too. And Pete Babcock and Stan Kasten, no, I did not want to trade him. I thought it was not a good idea. And again, they decided to go ahead irregardless of what I wanted. And so, again, when the season was over, I said, fine, you got to find a new coach because I'm out of here.
Okay. I'm going to give you what's really fascinating about this, because Jerry Krause is catching some crap. But Jerry Krause at least knew how to put together a basketball team. You're a nine-time NBA All-Star. You're a Hall of Famer. You're on your way to becoming a Hall of Fame coach as well. And you have general managers, with all due respect to them, and I'll drop that, with all due respect to them, why would they actually not at some point listen to the guy who actually is on the floor every night? Oh, by the way, played well enough to be a Hall of Fame player as well. Is there any answer for that, or is that ego, or what is that at that point?
You know, I have no idea, although I did talk to Wayne one time. Eventually, we were at in Vegas at an Olympic camp, he wanted to have breakfast, so I had it. Because, you know, you got to let bygones be bygones. And he apologized, you know, said that, you know, he was under a lot of pressure, but he should have backed me. And so did Pete Babcock, same thing. You know, they both apologized. So, you know, I've just moved on. You know, to me, it was an opportunity that we had, and it got away.
What do you think about when people talk about all-time greatest player? Because, look, you're the perfect guy. You bridged. You just mentioned Oscar and Jerry, and you're not talking about hearing about them. You're talking about being on the floor with them and watching them. Your span of the NBA is incredible in terms of a time frame. Do you get insulted when people try to do that when they haven't seen some of the players that they're actually saying guys are better than?
I don't get insulted. I just tell them, you know, that in every era there were a lot of great players. And back then we didn't have TV like we had later on. Some of the games were delayed on Sundays, you know. And if you weren't on the Celtics, you didn't get seen. So it doesn't insult me or bother me. I just it's fun for me to explain to them how good these guys were, and I had the opportunity to compete against them. In fact, in college, we used to have an East-West All-Star game in my senior year, and I played Jerry West, and I were on the East team, and Oscar was on the West team, and we beat the West, and Jerry and I were the co-MVP. How many people know that? You know, I mean, it's a lot of history that gets missed. You know, after my first year of pro ball, I had to go. I was a second lieutenant in the ROTC, and I had to go on active duty. So I missed a year, you know, of playing, but came back and was able to make the Hawks team again and, you know, and continue my career.
By the way, you have an All-Star Game MVP on your shelf, too, do you not? 70-71?
Yes.
71?
Yes, in 1971, that was a great experience. We had a fun time. I decided, you know, because in all the other All-Star games, I was always setting everybody up, you know, making sure everybody got the ball. And then toward the end of the game, I'd be sitting on the bench. So I decided this time I'm going to look for my shots as well. And as it turned out, I was the MVP.
Finishing up with the Hall of Famer Lenny Wilkins on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Your impressions so far of The Last Dance? Anything stand out that maybe you didn't know about?
Well, not really. It's just that it was a great team. Every place we went, the Olympic team, you know, it was like traveling with a rock star band. And the guys all wanted to show the world how good they were. They really did. And then in 96, I was the head coach. And those players, the same thing. They wanted to show the world how good they were. And so it's a great experience. I mean, not many people get that opportunity. I had it in, you know, having been a player and a coach and a player coach. I feel that my career was blessed.
Lenny, do you know what Charles has said, though, about being on the 96 team compared to the personalities on 92?
No, I don't.
So Charles said he enjoyed 92 more because he thought the guys in the 96 team were worried about their minutes and how many points they were scoring. He said he didn't think there was any of that on 92. And think about the team in 92. He was sort of insulted that next group of guys was not really understanding of what this was supposed to be.
Well, some of them did, you know, but they all wanted to show how good they were. And that's what competitive athletes do. But we made sure that everybody understood their role, and that's the way it was. No matter what, I was the coach. I was going to make the decisions, and that team won. So, yeah, in 92, yeah, we had a lot of guys who became Hall of Famers, you know. And so it was for me, it was a great opportunity. I enjoyed all of it. And Charles. Charles was funny. I admired his play, his career. And, you know, I used to have a charity dinner auction. I raised funds for the Odessa Brown Children's Clinic in Seattle. And Charles and Magic both came out to the dinner one time, and we just had a wonderful time.
Hey, real quick, Grant Hill is still mad at Mike Krzyzewski for this day because Krzyzewski said that they threw that game against the college kids. Krzyzewski came out and said, please, we threw that one. Chuck had a plan and blah, blah, blah. And Grant Hill's like, I don't care what he says. I love Mike Krzyzewski, but he ain't telling the truth on that one.
Well, I don't think the game was thrown. The guys weren't ready. And the college kids were eager to play. Let me tell you, and they came out there and they got after it. And so when after that first quarter, you know, we talked to our guys and you said, you know, see what's happening, and we let the media in. Well, in the second quarter, I think it went 5 minutes before the college kids were able to score.
Yeah, so, Charles said they didn't get across half court for about 8 minutes. So
needless to say, it woke them up.
It woke them up, for no question about it.
Well, Coach, listen, we appreciate you looking back, telling some stories, and hopefully we could talk again real soon. Hope you stay safe, and hope the next time we talk, we're talking about actual basketball being played.
Okay, well, the same with you guys, too. Thanks for having me on, and you stay safe.
Hey, Lenny, you've always carried yourself in a remarkable fashion around here. People still have really good thoughts about who you are as a man on top of everything else, so we appreciate it today.
Well, thank you so much.